We've been talking about destiny. And we have, the Lord is, you know, like I said, we are in this new season of prosperity and power. And there's an area where you must cooperate with God. That means that you must fulfill the scripture that says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow. Amen? And in this area, God is really shaking the church a lot, you know. And individuals are going to be tested. Hello. Now let me share with you a couple things about testing, because actually you're going to be challenged. And in this challenging, God is going to challenge you in the area whether your character that he has imparted in you as a born-again believer, which is associated with his character, is going to act out. Or your old character is going to react out. Hello. So in this time of season where God is shaking, because he says he's going to shake everything, and what's going to hold on to him and what's going to let go of him. Amen. And one of the things that happens to individuals is offense. Offense is so easily. And the reason why people are so offended is because they're still fighting for their life. And individuals have a tendency to run when offended. And they actually run in the arms of the devil instead of running to the arms of the Lord. Amen? And the reason that people run to the arms of the devil is because they still think they can fix it. Amen? And you can't fix it. You can't. It's impossible. The only one that can fix it is the Lord. And that's the uniqueness about it. You know what? He's predestined you to fix everything. He will fix everything in your life. You've been predestined to be conformed in the image and likeness of Christ. Everything with predestined means that everything is available to you. It's like you were to go into a grocery store and all the groceries are already yours. Everything is there for you. Everything that you need is there for you. That's all you need to do is go get what you're supposed to get. That's called predestined. Everything is available for you. Amen. Is everybody with me? In this predestined, because we're predestined, there's a place where God begins to give you a vision. In this vision, now something begins to happen. Now you're beginning to see what your purpose is. What is my purpose? You know, the world walks around, and I talk to many unbelievers. And one of the things that I share all the time with them, because I know what the Spirit is saying, and I'll say to them, you wonder why you're here. How do you know that? You wonder who you are. How do you know that? And you want to know where you're going. Man, I try to stuff that all the time. You can't stuff it. It comes up every day, every single day, every single day. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? The Holy Ghost is never going to let no human depart without that. Why? Because he desires no one to perish. And in that arena of who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? It begins to unfold. Your answers begin, your questions begin to get answered. Now that you know that you're predestined, you know who you are. You know why you're here, and you know where you're going. But in this now, in this journey that you've been predestined, where everything is available to you, God begins to give you a vision, which puts you in line of purpose. Now you know who you are. Now you begin to continue in that question of, what is my purpose? Okay, I'm to be conformed in the image and likeness of Christ. I'm predestined. I have eternal life. I can't die. I have dominion over all things. Okay, now what is my purpose? And God begins to give you vision. And that's purpose. Is everybody with me? Then purpose, as you begin to, now that you got an You know, you have a purpose. God begins to train you up. He begins to put you through things. He begins to challenge you. He begins to challenge you to fit your purpose. Does everybody understand that? He begins to... I'm going to use something strange and don't be offended. Do you ever see a dog get trained? Now, I'm not saying we're dogs. Hello. We don't eat from the crumbs from the table. We sit at the table. Amen? Okay. Now, as someone begins to train a dog, when you first get the dog and you get it home, it doesn't know you. It begins to know you, but it doesn't know what its purpose is. And as it begins to know you more, it begins to understand its purpose. And then all of a sudden, the dog, as it begins trained, and you've got to chasten it because it doesn't know, so you've got to sometimes tie it in an area or whatever so it knows. I mean, just like we got this little foo-foo dog, you know. It's a labradoodle-doo. So when we eat dinner, we have a place in the kitchen where the dog, we tie the dog to this place where there's a nice cushion there. And so that she knows, you know, air conditioning, fan TV, no. Doggy movies, watch Big Red all the time, you know. But anyways, so that the dog stay while we're eating so that she doesn't come around and start begging. So she's tied to an area so that she knows. So then now I don't have to tie her. When we go sit down to eat, she goes right over there and sits down and waits for us. And then when we get from our table, then she'll come and follow. But in this, now she knows that there's a purpose of pleasing. Does everybody understand that? She's got a purpose of serving. The thing is that she didn't know what her function was until she got trained. As everybody, see now, your calling is your function. So God is going to challenge you to fit you into your purpose to fulfill your function. Does everybody understand that? Your function is known as your calling. Has everybody got it? That's what the Bible says. You've been called. You have a calling. Your calling is your function in the body of Christ. If you're not functioning in the body of Christ, something's not right. That's where many people come into the body of Christ and run out. They've never fulfilled and got the vision of their purpose. Where God began to, see, God began to challenge them to fit things, but they ran before they could find out their function or their calling. Is everybody with me? And you know what the problem is in a short period of time, they begin to wonder who they are, why they're here, and where they're going. You know why? Because it's gone. Those things can only be fulfilled by doing the will of God. And it must take cooperation with the Spirit of the living God. Oh, is everybody all right? Amen. All right, turn to Ephesians 4. Tonight is your calling. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4. Is everybody there? We're going to read this together, please. Starting at verse 1, I believe. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Yes. Okay. Wait a minute. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Come on, read it with me. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the what? Okay, when you see calling, I want you to put this as your function. I want to see you walk worthy of your function. Okay? Because so many people have this word, think this calling is some mystical thing. You know, what's my calling? It's a mystical thing that's just whew, so hard I can't touch it. And they're waiting for something to fall from the sky. There's my calling. I'm a catcher. Catcher of the anointing. Hallelujah. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the function for which you were called. With all what? Now he's telling you, listen, don't let that function that you have cause you to stumble. You want to walk worthy of that function? Then here's something you must do. The first thing is with all lowliness. That means humble. Humbleness. And what? Gentleness. With long suffering. You know what? You know how you long suffer? You have to put up yourself. That's long suffering. You know, you suffer more. I mean, we cause ourselves, man, we're our worst enemy, man. You know? And bearing with one another in love. So you got somebody else's self and yourself, and that's pretty self. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, because self is in the way. And the bond of what? Peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were what? Called, and one hope of your function. Hallelujah. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Your calling is your function in the body of Christ. That means that you are doing something already in the body. You are doing something. Here is your function. This is your position in the body of Christ, and you are fulfilling your call. Right? Why? By being active in your call. You are in the functioning. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Your calling or your function. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, one of the things that the Bible talks about is you must count the cost. Are you willing to count the cost? You know, when people want to come into our discipleship house, I try to discourage them. You know why? I'm challenging them. You willing to do whatever it takes? Of course, most of them say, yeah. Whatever. Yes. Good. We'll see. You willing to die? What? This guy's going to kill me here? Yes. No, you're going to kill yourself. That's the only holy suicide you're going to ever do. Hallelujah. We need to do a teaching on that one. Holy suicide. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Would you read it with me there? Hallelujah. Therefore do not be what? Ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Why? Because there is sufferings. Are you willing to pay the price to fulfill your function? Who has what? Saved us and called us with a holy function. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before what? Time began. Before time began. Well, the first thing that was ever created was what? Time. Time was the first thing created. So this was before even time was created. So you were predestined with a vision and a calling in the body of Christ before God even created time. That's love. But has now been what? revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. See, he knew his function, wasn't he? What was he functioning as? A preacher, apostle, and a teacher. He was fulfilling his call. Everybody got it? Hallelujah. But it's a holy calling. It's a holy function. Your function in the body of Christ, I don't care if you're cleaning toilets, it's a holy toilet cleaner. Amen? I don't care if you're wearing rubber gloves or not, man. Those are still holy hands protected by rubber gloves. It's a holy calling. If you're fulfilling your function, your call, even at that moment. See, you might not have the full vision and so forth, but see, you're being obedient and during the period of time where God is training you up because everything is available. See, if you don't know how to pull out the resources to fulfill your call, you won't. God has given you every resource available, predestined before time was created. You walked right in. Did anybody ever see Matrix? Man, do you remember when they put, I like that, man. I need to know how to fly a helicopter. Yeah, I got it. You know? Nice. Well, everything was made available to them, wasn't it? Amen. Do you remember when they were going to go attack and rescue Morpheus or whatever? Come on. They put, okay, let's, we need weapons. What happened to them? They put that tape in. Next thing you know, they're in an arsenal. Everything was available to them, wasn't it? There wasn't nothing. They had their choice. Okay, I'm going to use this. They were loaded up, man. They had to carry duffel bags of weapons and everything. And you got to carry it in you. So everything was available to them as everything is available to me and you. That's what's called predestined. Amen. That is predestined. Everything is available. And God begins to give you vision. See, you might not understand what the full vision is. You're going to hear everybody else's vision before you're going to understand your own. See, what God's going to cause you to do, He's going to cause you to help someone else fulfill their vision. Then He's going to begin to give you yours. But first you must help someone else to fulfill their vision. Then He begins to give you yours, and you'll get a little glimpse. You won't understand the fullness of it, and you'll continue to be challenged. And God is just challenging you to mold you into that spot where you begin to fulfill your call and function according to the predestined calling of your life in the body of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 3, that's why the Bible says, count it all joy as you go through various trials. And don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange that you're going through all this stuff. It's okay. What's happening? God's challenging you and molding you for you to fulfill your predestined call. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, but I don't like it that way. Can't I just take a tape? Let me share something with you. Nobody can experience what you experience. Nobody. You can write it down on paper. You could try to tell somebody. But nobody can experience what you've experienced except for the one who's experienced everything. And that's Him. No, I can tell everybody about my encounter with the Lord. How a serpent came out of me and this funny language came out and I was blinded in the glory. But you won't fully get it until you experience it. Amen. So when the word says that God brings you from glory to glory, that's from experience to experience. Why? Because as you're beginning to touch the things of heaven and you're beginning to taste to see how good God is, And then the next level, He begins to test you, and your challenge will be even stronger than your last one. You're going, man, isn't this going to get any better? Isn't this walk supposed to get easier? No, depending on what he's preparing you for position in the body of Christ. You can't be a weenie Christian all your life. You can't keep running because of offense or because you've been challenged. You got to stop making vows and not fulfilling them. Amen. We got to start being totally honest. Stop touching unclean things. Putting your hopes in other areas. Let me tell you, that's the number one thing Daddy tests you on. Seeing where your hope is at. If your hope is in your family, you're not in God's will. If your hope is in your job, you're not in God's will. If your hope is in your finances, you're not in God's will. Well, that just sounds so weird. Well, God is weird. He's the weirdest dude I've ever met. But he's the most awesome daddy I've ever loved. I might not understand him fully, but he understands me fully. And that's what makes it a lot easier. Amen. I mean, I don't have to go to no psychiatrist to find out I'm crazy. I go to him. He tells me right off the bat. Guy, you're crazy. Thank you, Papa. Would you mind healing me now? See, it's that easy. You know, you don't have to, like, people go to, you know why people run to a psychiatrist? Because they feel it. Hello? Their feelings overtake them. They're trying to deceive the feeling by getting medication. Give me some medication, I'll deceive the feeling. But that spirit's still there. He's getting fed even more. And he's inviting everybody else. And next thing you know, there's a party in your temple. You're not collecting any rent and everybody's just using you, crashing the crib and everything else. Hurting you, physical sicknesses and everything else begin to manifest. He begins to challenge you of where your hope's at. That's why you must speak it. You know, not enough people speak what they're supposed to. Too many take what comes out of their mouth. Oh, it's me. Oh, I just can't do this. Oh, God, where are you? They forgot they're the temple of God. Where do you think he is? I can't hear you. You're not listening. Can you imagine Noah? Think about Noah. Come on. Noah. What? What's up? Who is this? I want you to build an ark. You're the only righteous dude out here. Whoa. I'm going to have it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Whoa. Well, Noah was getting a vision. The problem is he didn't know what an ark was. What's an ark? I want you to build it 40 cubits by 50 cubits. What's a cubit? God had to give him the whole thing. What was he doing? He was giving him vision. The man didn't even know what a boat was. He never even saw rain in his life. He didn't go fishing. But he was predestined, wasn't he? He was predestined. He had a vision. And what was his function? To build a boat, get everybody aboard, and get out of town. Because the earth was about to get flooded. And to set a whole new destiny. Amen? To set a whole new destiny. I mean, come on, think about it. Noah was a part of all new creation. If you get an opportunity, I encourage you to get the tape on demons. It's excellent. It brings you understanding of what happened. Okay. Where are we at? Hebrews chapter 3. Oh, God. And verse 1, would you read it with me? So we know that there's a holy function that you have, isn't there? Amen. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the what? Heavenly function. Oh, so your function is from heaven. consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all of his house. So we see here that not only we have a holy calling, but we have a heavenly calling. Amen? You have a heavenly calling. You know, sometimes you got to go through hell to get to heaven. Well, I'm telling you. And if you think that the devil's going to sit back and support your calling, you are crazy. And you better go get deliverance. Don't go to a psychiatrist. Go to get delivered. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. You know, if you really speak to most believers in the body of Christ, it's those God has held back what an individual's call is. Because he tries to get him in the position before Satan can figure it out. But the problem is everybody needs to know what they would not. And I want to know why. I don't know when, how, where. And if they don't get what they want, they run. See, you've got to come to a place where God does not have to explain to you everything. Amen? And you've got to get to a place where you don't have to understand everything. That's all he's asking you to do, is to do it. I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand why I got to go through this. Good. Die. What's he doing? He's challenging you. He's holding back right now your function in the body of Christ because he doesn't want the devil to know it. Because once you figure it out, the devil's going to try to get you out. So God usually begins to reveal that I still don't know what my function is. That's all I know is I do what's on the table. I never believed I was going to be a pastor. I had no idea I was going to ever be involved in a discipleship program. I didn't know. The only thing I knew is that I was changed, had a new life. God was restoring things. I didn't know what I knew I loved the Lord, and I wanted to tell everybody about what happened to me. I want to tell everybody the truth. I realized that the world was under a deception of lies, and it was my responsibility, not that I was, that I had to, but I sensed it in my spirit that I needed to tell people the truth. And however that was going to happen, I didn't know. First of all, I realized that when I went to some religious pastors, tried to explain what happened to me, they quote me scriptures, but I didn't know what those scriptures were. Hey, do you know what such and such in 2 Corinthians 15:25 is? No. I don't. He'd read the scripture and he'd go, oh, I heard that. I tried to tell people to some of these places that because I wanted to rescue, I wanted to do outreaches and everywhere to bring people in bound by drugs and alcohol to tell them the truth that Jesus can heal them and deliver them. But I was running into churches that they didn't know. I thought everybody had the same experience I did. But they didn't know. They didn't understand, but they could sure quote the scriptures. And I would walk away and go, Dad, am I messed up? And he'd say to me, no, son, they don't know me. They're bound by the letter. Let me tell you something. I was afraid to read the Bible for a long period of time. Because I saw so many people walk around with the Bible underneath their arm, like deodorant. It was hiding their stink. They needed two of them. Because the other side was killing people. They were beating people up with the letter, not even knowing how to walk it. And I went to this church, nice church, whatever. I was asking the pastor there, come on and help. Can we send people to your church? Would you mind helping us? There's a big field over here. It's a drug-infested area. We've been trying to do this for 13 years. 13? And we haven't seen a change yet. Well, I didn't know what to say. You know, I just, well, you want to try again? You know, I mean that man had lost vision. He was so stuck. Does everybody understand? He was so stuck that his function was no longer a function. It was a necessity. It was now self. It was self-promotion now, self-positioning. In other words, God couldn't get that man out of that church behind that pulpit no matter what. Unless the place burned down. As a matter of fact, it did. I remember that now. It did burn down. I thought, ooh, I drove by it one day going, whoa, Lord. It burned a crisp. There wasn't nothing standing there. They had to rebuild it. But I look at these things, and I'm able to see them now, of what God was trying to do the whole time. But see, in that, He was still training me. Because see, I was being challenged by these things. I was being challenged. I didn't understand why these things were happening to me. But God was allowing challenges to come to me. Why? Because He was preparing me to fulfill my calling. So now my calling is right as is what's here right now. This is my calling. I'm fulfilling my calling. What is next? I don't know yet. But I know that while right now, as I'm fulfilling my calling, He's still challenging me for the next level of my calling. Does everybody understand it? Of my function. I don't know what it is yet. And I don't need to know. If He wants to tell me, He will. My whole purpose is to surrender daily. And take everything that has been predestined for me and use it. Use it. See, so in this, God doesn't always reveal your full function yet because the devil would interfere with it. Does everybody understand it? So as He begins to unfold certain things to you, He'll allow you to begin to walk in your partial function or your partial calling in the body of Christ, and you'll think, oh, this must be it. And it's only partial. It's only partial. Amen? Because God is so big and we have a tendency to limit Him. And we think, oh, man, I couldn't go any further than this. Man, if, you know, people go to school and learn all kinds of things. You've got doctors and firemen and police officers and attorneys and all of these things. And sometimes God allows an individual and doesn't pull them out of the darkness until they've been trained. Then once they've been trained, because they don't know they got any kind of function in the body of Christ, they're out there selfish. The only reason why they went to school is so they can make more money. So they can learn the ways of whatever. And the next thing you know, God rescues them and they lay their intellect down. Well, that's a rough thing for them. Because pride is hit so big. Well, wait a minute, I'm an attorney. I'm a doctor. I'm a professor. I'm this, I'm that. But God begins to humble that individual, sometimes visits them, strips them, allows a circumstance in their life to happen to where it's a tremendous trauma to them, where they realize that nothing worldly can help them. There's an inner problem, an inner torment. They can't, no matter what they try to do, they try to drink it, smoke it, buy it, and everything else, but it just doesn't go away. And God begins to bring them to a place where they become humble, and then He begins to remove them, put self under dominion, and put His character in there so it can use what it's learned from the world. See, the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Well, let's take the knowledge of the wicked and use it for the righteous. Amen? See, all of the, there's just so much. I mean, I could go on, I could stand here for 2 weeks and continue to tell you all these things that the Spirit is sharing. But see, we get so stinking religious that we're not flexible enough to be led by the Spirit of God. It's just like when Jesus was hanging out with the prostitutes, the drug addicts, so forth. They criticized him for what he was doing. I mean, he went and he didn't fellowship with them, you know what I'm saying? He didn't go over there and eat popcorn and watch TV at their houses or anything. He went in there to be an example. He brought the presence of God there. But he knew their hurts. He knew what was going on. But they criticized him. But he was fulfilling his function, wasn't he? But all of those years, he had to get trained up, didn't he? Even Jesus had to get trained up. Why? Because he had to know how to walk as a human. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Where did I say to go? 1 Corinthians chapter what? 1, verse 26. Would you read it with me? Hallelujah. For you see your function, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Hello. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Say, I'm foolish. For Jesus. To shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. See, now you're above the wisdom of the world. You know all things, the Bible says. Your carnal brain doesn't know all things. Your spirit knows all things. Knows things to come, everything. Why? Directed by the Holy Ghost. Knows everything. In fact, there's times when he's trying to tell you something and you ignore it and you go, man, I should have done this. Well, why do you think you should have done that? Because you were told to, but you ignored it. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Ooh. See, once you begin to see, get a vision, and you get a little glimpse, it begins to give you purpose. See, you don't even realize that you're being trained up now for your function. And sometimes things will change. Things can change. Because God is bringing you to another level of your function. But too many people bound by religiosity and bondage are not willing to go to another level of their function because they feel comfortable where they're at. Listen, I know we're only on a few scriptures here, but I'm sharing with you that the Spirit of God is trying to bring us to another place. So definitely, well, see, he wants to bring you to a place where you really do not rely on you again. Because you cannot fulfill your calling if you're relying on you. First Corinthians 7. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Master. And I thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Would you read verse 20 with me? Let each one remain in the same function in which he was called. Now, were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. So what he's saying, listen, remain in your function, but don't get so caught up in whatever. In other words, don't move ahead of God. Why? Because so many people begin to try to fulfill their own function instead of God fulfilling it. And they get out of position. They go ahead of time. They get married before they're supposed to get married. They get the wrong job. Whatever. Why? Because God is trying to fulfill their function. Hello. So he says, remain in the same calling in which you were called, or the same function. Were you called while a slave and so forth? For he who, verse 22, for he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Freedom. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. You can become your own slave by trying to do it yourself. See, this whole arena, even as an individual begins to teach or preach, can get into an arena and go over the borderlines where they begin to do it in their own strength and own flesh. Then there's no change. These are things that we must learn about boundaries in your life. Why? Because going beyond your boundary will move you out of your function. There's people trying to fulfill other people's functions. That's why he says, remain in your function. Your function will promote itself. God will bring you to another level in your function. He doesn't remove your function, he adds to it. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Is this on tape? Good. I need to hear this again. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 4. Bless you, Master. Thank you, Papa. See, I love being taught. I love it. I love getting fed from the throne room of God. I love when my spirit begins to get strong. So you can see things better. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Oh, glory. And he... where are we? Oh, there we are. And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work... Woo-hoo! For the what? That word work means function of ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Each person fulfills its function, causes growth and edification to the body. Offices are a part of the function. They are an operating function. So everybody, why? Because parts of the body of Christ, in those offices in the body of Christ, assist others to fulfill their vision and fulfill their function. Does everybody understand that? See, because everyone that is an officer or in any of these offices in the body of Christ has had vision already. But see, they don't chase vision. When I hear a person tell me that they're chasing their vision, that's not God's will. I've had people leave this place telling me I've got to chase the vision. Too bad. I'd rather chase the Lord. You do not chase vision. Vision gives you purpose. That's it. You don't chase your vision. It gives you purpose. God will begin to lead you. See, what happens then, the devil begins to push you. And when you are pushed for that vision, you will miss God every time. It will not come to pass. If it comes to pass, it won't last. Because it's not been ordained by the Lord. Now, I'm talking about believers. I'm not talking about unbelievers. Hello. I'm talking about individuals that want to do the will of God. Not those who are bound by the devil. Hello. Who promotes no matter what. To draw people to wealth. The reason why the devil allows people to get prosperous in the arena is to draw people to wealth. But see, God allows it to happen because he's letting the devil build the wealth up so we can come and take it. If you're walking according to your calling, Is everybody with me? Why? Because that's all you need to do is push that button of the Holy Ghost, and He supplies everything. All the armor, everything. The knowledge, everything. The Bible says, do you not know that you have an anointing and you know all things? People say, man, what are you going to do about this? I say, I don't know, but I will. I don't know now, but I will. I don't need to know now, but I will. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Thank you, Master. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Glory. Thank you, Master. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 11. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's what? What's the word work mean? Function. Of what sort it is. Now let me share something with you. When you're walking in your calling and your function, there are people who are out there doing stuff that they're not called to do. That work will burn. The only work that will stay is if you're walking in your calling. Does everybody got it? Anyone who's not walking in their calling, when it comes time for reward day, will burn. Does everybody got it? It's so important, I'm telling you right now. This is what, you know, if people would get this understanding, they wouldn't be rushed for everything. Because they'd realize that, oh, I did a lot of stupid stuff. I mean, I'll tell you. I mean, when the Lord touched me, I wanted to do everything for Jesus. But everything I was doing for Jesus was not my calling. I was printing t-shirts up, selling them on the corner. Jesus loves you. I had a 46 Chrysler limo on gold on the side. It had Jesus. I chauffeured the Lord wherever He wanted to go. But the things I was doing was not my calling. But see, He was using it to challenge me. Amen? He was using it to train. Why? Because the Word says all things will work to the good. So everything that I blew, messed up, didn't do in my calling, tried to fulfill somebody else's calling, God will use it to the good. So while I'm here on earth, it won't be wasted. As long as I get to the place where I begin to function in my call. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory. Okay. 14. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a what? A reward. In other words, everything that you are doing according to your calling, your function, will last and will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So that person is still saved, even though he wasn't walking according to his calling. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Now, let me share something. This word, the Lord says, man, don't you get it? You're the temple of God. You know all things. You can hear. Everything's available to you. Why? Because you've been predestined. Everything is at your disposal. Then why are you not walking in your call? You know, too many people want to go do instead of wait and hear. Remember, God's perfect will is His perfect time. If it's not His perfect time, it's not His will. If you're out of time, Do you ever drive a car that's out of time? It may get you to the place, but man, it's the roughest drive you ever had. You feel like you hit every speed bump on the road and everything else. And then it eats up gas, takes cash away from you, and everything else. It seems like no matter what you try to do, it's not running right. It seems like getting to places takes longer. Does everybody understand? It seems like, man, then anxiety starts building up and everything. You know why? You're not in God's time. You're not in His will. Now, I'm not talking about being challenged. There's a difference. Okay? Challenging is different. God allows us to be challenged so He can mold us according to His will. What? To prepare us because we have a purpose, a vision, and so that we can fulfill His calling for our life. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? All right. Let's go to Hebrews 6. Oh, hallelujah. Did this tape turn over yet, David? Okay. Hebrews 6. Well, all things are possible, but not probable. Not for tonight, anyways. We're not going to make it. So, I didn't realize, hallelujah, time flies when you're having fun. Hebrews 6. Thank you, Master. Verses 1 and 2, I think. I don't know. Somewhere around there. Is everybody there? Hebrews 6, we'll start at 1. All right. Ready? Start your engines. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from what? Dead works and of faith towards God. Of the doctrines of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Dead works are works that are not according to your calling. Those are considered dead works. You might not be walking in your calling, but your desire to do the will of God is preparing you for your calling. Has everybody got it? This is where all things will work to the good. Now, you got to understand something. That doesn't mean that you might have a desire to do the will of God. Now that you have the desire to do the will of God because it's been predestined, now you must cooperate with God's will. Because then vision will come for purpose and function will come to fulfill your calling. Now, I've got more, but I'm not going to go there. We're going to close for now and pick up Tuesday. Amen? Your calling. Without prayer, no prayer, no life. Prayer. The first thing the enemy does is begin to remove you from prayer. It begins to cause anxiety, begins to push you to try and fulfill your vision. But you cannot fulfill your vision without prayer. Amen. We'll continue on this Tuesday. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and we thank you for your revelation. Lord, we all desire to fulfill your call for each and every one of us. And we repent for dead works. Lord, forgive us for every dead work we've done. Sever us from it and sever us from any guilt and condemnation. Lord, we commit to you our works that you will establish our thoughts and acknowledge you in all of our ways that you will establish our steps. We know that we are bought for a price and help us to pay the price that our function in the body would bring glory to your name and rescue many souls. In Jesus' name.